You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. With us now is Dawood Waleed, who's the executive director of the Michigan chapter of CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Welcome. And we should note as we begin talking that you are a military veteran.
That's correct. I served for 4 years in the United States Navy.
And what years did you serve?
From 1994 to 1998, and I served under honorable conditions and received 2 Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medals.
Well, this week, CARE called for the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department to launch a probe into Raheel's death. And we know there are already 3 investigations, the Marine Corps, the NCIS, which is the Naval Criminal Investigative Service, and a Naval Medical and Surgery Review. Why do you believe that this 4th federal probe is needed?
Well, we believe that Raheel Siddiqui's civil rights were most likely violated just before his declared or reported suicide, which the family still has questions about whether it actually was a suicide or not. But also in my work in the civil rights field, we're always skeptical about people or a particular entity in the government investigating itself and the actions of its own members. Therefore, we believe that not only should the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division investigate the potential violation of Mr. Siddiqui's civil rights, but that there needs to be an outside entity, which is not part of the Department of Defense, that is investigating what took place at that boot camp.
Now, I know that you have met with Raheel Siddiqui's family.
Correct.
You've seen the postmortem pictures.
That's correct.
What were your thoughts when the word came down from the Marines that it looked like possible suicide?
It was very questionable in my mind. This was an honor roll student. People in the community and Taylor had nothing but stellar things to say about him. He had very high engineering ambitions to even wanting to serve our country as an FBI agent. He also had no history of any type of mental health issues or diagnosed with any type of depression or anything like that. So for a man with such high ambitions to be described as nothing but helpful and jovial, both by family members and community members, to then suddenly just commit suicide seems extremely bizarre, to say the least.
We all know Marine boot camp is one of the toughest experiences that anybody could go through. What have you heard that makes you believe that this young recruit was singled out for particularly vicious hazing because of being Muslim American?
Well, I think the primary reason is actually the history of the drill instructor that came out. There was another Muslim who filed a complaint against the same drill instructor only months before Siddiqui's death. This young man was humiliated. He was made to lay face first down the shower. He was then, after being made to be wet, he was then forced to go into an industrial size dryer in which it was turned on, and he suffered burns as well as being accused of being a spy and a terrorist. So,
and this is the same drill instructor.
This is the exact same drill instructor. So there's a history here of racism and xenophobia with this one particular drill instructor. But the culture in which there were so many people who witnessed these events and didn't say anything just reminds me of the culture of the military in which I served, in which there are people who have positional power, who cover for themselves, and then the people who are the recruits or the so-called subordinates are hazed and made to suffer. And in particular, those people who are different are those who are most vulnerable to being hazed.
So this fits with what you're hearing from other branches of the military and other recruits or other military members?
Our offices at CARE across the country over various years have received complaints in relationship to this. You know, when CARE first got started, and I didn't even think about filing a complaint with CARE, but I filed a complaint with the what is called the Master at Arms in my unit.
Tell us about your experience.
About 20 years ago when we were enforcing the no-fly zone in Iraq. And I remember vividly there was actually 2 people in my division, both Michiganians, as a matter of fact, started yelling and chanting, saying, "We're going to bomb your people, boy." So we're around the same age. They called me boy. I'm an African-American. But then the next morning, after I wake up at what we call our rack, I opened up my drape and there was a noose hanging next to my rack. So the master at arms investigated and they did not find the individuals who were responsible. But it's just very, you know, interesting that even on that one particular incident, among others, you know, that I was subjected to racism and Islamophobia while serving. And mind you, this was 20 years ago prior to 9/11. So imagine the environment right now around the 15th anniversary of 9/11, the very caustic political rhetoric that is coming from Donald Trump and others who have Tea Party affiliations. I can't even imagine what recruits and active service members may be experiencing right now, both here and deployed abroad.
If you were a young person, a minority, Muslim, considering joining America's military today, would you reconsider?
I would think twice about it if, you know, if I could fast forward 20 years ago when I was that young man who was in his early 20s signing up for the United States military. I'm not too sure if I would do that right now.
Have you gotten a response from the Department of Justice to your call for an investigation, civil rights investigation?
No, we just made the call yesterday, and we'll see what takes place. But as we stated yesterday, we do believe that the serious nature of what took place does rise to a level that the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division should look into this particular situation. But also there needs to be a review of the broader culture that is right now in the United States military. We don't believe that the vast majority of people in the United States military are Islamophobic, but we do know that there is a problem. We do also know that there is implicit bias that takes place in our society. So people may not have malicious intent, but it doesn't mean that they're free of implicit bias and can't treat people different ways and that there's double standards.
Dawood Waleed, who is Executive Director of CARE, the Michigan Chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
And I misspoke in the introduction to this interview, and I want to be extremely clear. Marine recruit Rahil Siddiqui was a Pakistani American Muslim.